My trip home last month became an opportunity for what many people call an aha moment. First of all, to avoid the traffic on 75 and all the construction, I decided to go a new route to the airport. I took 675, took the wrong exit, and barely got to the airport on time. So I'm like panicking before I got to the plane. Somehow got in there and took off to DC. I was not looking forward to my 6-hour layover at DC, but it gave me the opportunity to catch my breath. When I got there, the best analogy that I could find to explain how I felt was of a worn-out, tired puppy dog. Literally, I was like... So when I sat down, I realized how tired I was. And it wasn't the trip to the airport. It was the last 6 months. Work, ministry, retreats, been working and working and working. I think it got to the point of exhaustion. Later that evening, just after dinner, about 7 o'clock, and my flight was not till 11 o'clock, I picked up the Bible and I decided to get in touch with my Creator. When I opened the Bible, the verses that I read spoke to me. And I want to read for you the scripture that hit me. This is the book of Revelation. God said, "I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate the wicked. Moreover, you have endurance and you have suffered for my name, and you have not grown weary." At this point, I'm feeling good, right? The scripture then goes on to say, "Yet I hold this against you. You have lost the love you had at first. You realize how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you have at first." And I sat there in stunning self-realization. Over the last 6 months, my work had overtaken me. I was tired, I was exhausted, and I was empty. My prayer life had taken a beating, but I always justified it by saying, "But I'm doing ministry. This is God's work." Not that I shied away from prayer, but prayer was just not what it used to be. And I always said, "It's okay because I'm doing God's work. After all, I'm celebrating the Eucharist. Why spend another hour in prayer?" That evening, as I said, that I sat there thinking about it, I realized how I had lost track of God. What's the point in working for God if you forget the God you're working for? Somehow, Christ had gone away from the very center of my life. Christ has gotten to the sidelines while I was working very hard for God. So for the last 1 month, I've been trying to get back on track. And I'm not there yet, but I certainly am not where I was a month back. It's been a slow journey back to loving God like I did in my 20s. I call it my honeymoon with God, when I loved God above all things and in everything else, and nothing compromised my love for God. For the last 3 weeks, friends, we've been focusing on what we call the bread of life discourse. Jesus giving himself to the world as the bread of life. Today, after the last two weeks of reflection on, I want us to take a step forward in understanding what Christ is trying to offer as he offers himself as the bread of life. So here are my 3 points in which I'm trying to communicate how it is important for us to bring Christ to the center. So firstly, talking about the bread of life. This is not the only place where Jesus connects bread with spirituality or prayer or God. There are other places where Christ connects the two. In fact, bread almost becomes an analogy for Jesus. So think about Jesus in the desert. The devil comes and tells Jesus, transform this stone into bread. And what does Jesus say? Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. So bread is important, but there's something more. And then in the story of the Samaritan woman, when the disciples come back with food for Jesus, and if they say to Jesus, Rabbi, eat, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of my Father. And then in last week's gospel reading, remember the crowds came to Jesus because they wanted a sign. And Jesus says to them, do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. And then in today's gospel reading, Jesus contrasts manna in the desert with the bread that he would give, the bread would lead people to eternal life. Even though it might seem that Jesus is placing more importance on the spiritual, I don't think Jesus is anti-bread. On the contrary, when they were hungry, he fed them bread, he gave them loaves, he gave them fish. But in continuing to emphasize on the bread of life that comes down from heaven, I think Jesus is trying to say to us, and this is the key point, I think Jesus is trying to say to us that when it comes to our life's central pursuit, when it comes to our life's central pursuit, what is at the center of our lives? When it comes to that, it cannot be anything else but God. It is not wrong to seek to be happy. It's not wrong to seek to be secure, to be painless. It's not wrong to seek even to be wealthy and healthy. But in our human weakness, we are capable of losing our way. That is what happened to me. Because we are weak human beings, it is possible for us to lose our way. We are capable of making our career, our financial security, or even our own selves our central pursuit. We can still go to church once a week. We can still pray a little bit in the morning, but God remains somewhere on the periphery, on the sidelines. And Jesus is saying, nothing and nobody in the life of a disciple can take the central place that God, that Christ, the bread of life, has. My second point, I want to talk about the practical aspects of this Christ being at the center. Folks, we live in a society, we call it the secular society, where God has been sidelined. God is on the periphery. And it began with the Enlightenment, 17th century, the French Revolution, the Industrial Revolution. Then, of course, the secular society created an entity which saw religion being relegated completely to the side. And so there are numerous examples of this. Many of you who are more senior than the rest of us here, you will remember the time when Sundays used to be a holiday and people would actually rest, take a break. People could actually go and worship. We live in a society today where the church has to compete with the market economy to have a central place in people's lives. Or education. We teach our children to pursue everything else except the pursuit of God and religion in public schools. Our children can be taught everything except God and religion. We can talk about everything else except God and religion. And you and I have no control over this. This is a secular society. We have no control over this, but we do have control over something. We have control over how much society can influence our lives. That we have control over. From my own experience, I know how easy it is to lose track of God at the center. And so I'm going to ask you the same questions that I ask myself. As you perceive it, if you had to take 5 minutes this week, as you perceive it at this point of your life, what is your central pursuit? What is it right now that is at the very center of your life? What is your central goal? If you're too busy working so that there's no time to pray, or to keep the Sabbath holy, or if your human concerns are overtaking you that your spirituality is getting left behind, or if you find yourself lukewarm with regard to God, and I think Christ is calling us today very, very consciously to bring Christ at the very center of our lives. And thirdly, what do you call a person who radically has Christ at the center no matter what? What do you call that kind of a person? I think such a person is what we call a radical disciple. In this parish, over the past 3 or 4 years, we have brought discipleship to the very center of our consciousness. We call ourselves a community of disciples. And that has happened because we've taken the time and the energy to talk about it, pray about it, live it. So 3 years back, we had our parish theme as radical discipleship. Last year, our theme was faithful discipleship. This year, our theme right now is prayerful discipleship. And for the coming year, we think that we should continue to focus on discipleship, but discipleship at home. So my third point, I'm going to talk about this discipleship retreat that's coming up. And our theme for this year is being church at home and home at church. And the reason why we did this is because the Archdiocese, as its theme, has Christ at the center with a focus on the family. And we think it is important for us as a parish community to rally everyone in the parish, particularly those who are finding it hard, and that includes me. as a family, as individuals, trying to bring Christ to the center of our lives. So on September 8th, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and this is open to everybody, not just parishioners. Many of you come here for the 6 o'clock Mass, and you may think this is only for the parish. No, it's not. If you want Christ to be consciously brought to the very center of your home, which then makes our home a place that becomes like a church, and so the parish gets energized, and we help each other and support each other as family and parish, is this open to anybody who wants to come and be this people that has Christ at its very center? So I'm going to invite as many of you. Last year we had 360 people at this retreat for prayerful disciples. I want to change people's lives. I'm inviting you to please come and be part of making Christ at the very center of our lives as a parish community. I hope we have 500, 600 people. The band will be playing for this retreat. We'll have a children's segment, we'll have a youth segment, we have a young adult segment, we have a Spanish segment. Anybody who wants to come, please take this invitation seriously. I think Christ is saying something to us. Let's renew not only our individual lives as disciples, let's bring Christ to the center as a home, as families, as couples, parents and children, husband and wife. So you will, many of you will receive a letter from me this week. Now, that will be only possible if you're a parishioner, because I don't have your address, right? So those of you who are parishioners will get a letter from me about this retreat, and those of you who are not, we will make sure you can get one, because all the vestibules will have a registration form starting next week. In the letter will be an RSVP form. Fill that and send it to us for lunch, for t-shirts that will be given on this retreat. So we hope that many of you can. So together as a parish community, together helping each other, we would love to be a community that has Christ at the very center. Just like this church, Christ at the very center. As the bread and wine is brought forward, folks, and that's and this bread and wine becomes the body and blood of Christ, let us do two things. First, to recognize Christ as the bread of life, and then very consciously, especially as you receive communion, very consciously, if Christ is not at the center, when you say amen to the body of Christ, allow Christ to come to the very center of your existence, of your whole life. People of God said,